This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 12 years, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and into what stuff means, and help listeners understand why they should maybe give a crap. You can listen to episodes online, get them off iTunes or Google Play, or subscribe using a podcast app. Whatever way you choose, they're free and there's a new one weekly. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported from the start by Jeremy Gavin and his great team at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. One hell of a lot of the people involved in some way with the digital signage business, as vendors or end users, have spent a day or more learning the fundamentals from Alan Braun. With his son, Jonathan, Alan runs a small San Diego-based consulting firm that has been heavily focused for the last many years on education. By his count, some 40,000 people have attended sessions that have helped people understand what and what not to do, and what Alan calls the seven key elements of digital signage. He could be retired, and he lives in a part of the U.S. where people dream of retiring, but he loves what he does, so he sticks with it. This is a chat I've been meaning to do since I started this podcast, and I was very happy I finally got my act together and made it happen. So, Alan, thanks for joining me. Sometimes I worry about podcast interviews because I fear that the people will give me three-word answers and I'll run out of questions, but I've known you long enough to know I have no fear of that.
Well, you know, I like to, it's an attempt at humor, Dave, but I like to tell people that I never say anything in 50 words that I can say in 500. So I guess in a fair court of law, I plead guilty.
How long now have you been doing this work? And, you know, I want to get into how many people you've taught in your courses and so on. It's quite an amazing number.
Well, it's kind of amazing when you stare into the mirror and you realize you've been doing this, in my case, for 35 years. But just like you on the digital signage front, you know, we've been doing this literally morning, noon, and night for about 15 years. And of course, the thing that just kind of astounds you and me is that back 15 years ago, when we first stuck our big toes in the water of this thing called digital signage, we had no idea where it was going to lead us. And it's gotten to be an industry that's taken on a life of its own. From an educational point of view, it's kind of fascinating as I look back historically at my track record. And I was talking to Jonathan, who you know is my mm-hmm. partner and frankly my son, which I'm proud to say. I was talking to him and I said, you know, son, the only real success I've had in my career has been, you know, I've done okay in business and that sort of thing. But basically, the only success I've had has been in teaching and in doing classes. And so I started looking at it and over the years and in the commercial AV and digital signage industry combined, as of a year and a half ago, I had actually had over 40,000 people attend seminars that I taught both in commercial AV and then, of course, the last almost 15 years in mm-hmm. digital signage. So I guess it's fair to say, Dave, that I guess it's fair to say that I am a teacher and I am proud to be a teacher and happy to be able to contribute that to the industry.
Now, for people who don't know you, and I don't think there are many, but certainly people new to the industry, what you do are by and large are run day-long seminars, or you can explain them, but basically primers for people getting into the industry so they really understand what's involved, how to get started, how not to make early mistakes, and so on. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it is. And I like to I get a little academic about this, so forgive me, but we like to talk about a curriculum. And I work very closely with the Digital Signage Expo. And of course, you and I are both near and dear to the heart of the Digital Signage Federation. And we talk about education being the core of what it's all about. And yeah, I know, you know, in full light of disclosure, you know, you've got a reputation of being very honest and forthright. So let's be honest and forthright and notate that, you know, the trade shows are funded and at the beck and call of the exhibitors, but the core mission of the Digital Signage Expo, and of course, the core mission of the Digital Signage Federation is education. And we take a look at this from a curriculum point of view. And by that, I mean not to have just disparate classes, although truth be told, we do have disparate classes, but we deal with things from the fundamentals all the way to the advanced and into the granularity of the different sections of digital signage. And our belief at both the DSF, the DSE, and at Braun Consulting is that you can't possibly be effective unless you know the fundamentals. You don't want to leap into digital signage and start talking about content management systems and advanced hardware, and let's talk about connectivity. You can't possibly, you know, be effective with broad sweeps in any of those topics unless you have the fundamentals. So we start at the fundamentals and we break it down into their component parts. And some of the things we do are full-day seminars like we teach at the Digital Signage Expo. Some we do for individual clients. We'll work with a manufacturer and we'll train them. We'll train their distributors. We'll train their resellers. But again, the foundation of it all is we start with the fundamentals and work into the granularity of the details. But it's all a curriculum actually designed for a purpose in mind, which is the educated person is going to attain a level of competence. And from that point, then you grow. You know, no intention of making somebody an expert on digital signage in a day or a week or a month. You and I have been doing this too long to even think about that. But what we do is we give them the foundation, and that's the platform from which they can really grow and really understand the industry.
Mm-hmm. And you, as somebody who's taking this course, come out of it with DSCE, correct?
Right, a digital signage certified expert, and it's a full day on the certification part of it. And interesting, the cool thing about this is the DSCE was born, I guess we're 9 years old now. Mm-hmm. The DSCE was born after you and I and a bunch of other industry folks had gone to the Digital Retail Expo, then it morphed into the Digital Signage Expo. And we're sitting around one night and basically over a nice bottle of red wine, and we're talking about all of these little disparate parts. This is before anybody thought of certifications or really education other than let me train you about this display or let me train you about this mount or this CMS. That was all thought of, but nobody really had thought about, you know, wrapping their arms around this. So kind of coincident with this was the formulation of the Digital Signage Federation. And so we got together a group of people and we said, you know, we've got to have some glue. We've got to have some standards. We've got to have some things that are agreed upon, that are impartial, agnostic, and vendor neutral. And out of this grew what we call the seven key elements. I think I have them indelibly etched on my arm, but they are business, content, design, software, hardware, connectivity, and operations. And we came to this conclusion, and we actually had them in the wrong order at first. We actually started with hardware, coming from my background. That's no surprise. And a friend of yours and mine, and one of the icons of the industry, Phil Cohen, you know, came to us and he said, you know, your seven key elements that you got are fine, except you got them in the wrong order. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, you got to start with business. You got to start with the objective. You know, content is king, but really the objective is king. And he literally twisted our collective minds in the right direction to get the seven key elements in the right order. So everything is based on the seven key elements. It wasn't just our idea. Mm-hmm. It was the collective idea of probably 12 or 13 of us. And it's pretty much stayed consistent. We update it every year with new data, new points of reference and things like that. But it's pretty much stayed the same for 8 years in terms of those seven key elements. And each of those seven key elements is illustrated. I don't care if it's a single installation at a hair salon in Nebraska, or it's a 6,000 screen rollout of a banking institution in Canada. They're all seven key elements are used in every single solitary installation. And by understanding those in the Digital Signage Certified Experts program, by understanding those, then people get the fundamentals. And again, we say Digital Signage Certified Expert. You and I both know that nobody becomes an expert in a day, but it's a great foundation from which to learn what you really need to know about the industry.
Mm-hmm. Being intrigued through the years, how many people in their email signatures and business cards and so on actually include that after their names?
We've been very blessed, but again, the reason, and you kind of specialize in this in a lot of your work, and I guess the reason that you and I have been such good colleagues over the years is that you want to make sure that you're impartial, agnostic, and vendor neutral. No matter who, you know, one of us works for, one of the subject matter experts in the industry, you may work for one company or another company and do projects. But the truth of the matter is you put your industry hat on and you do become impartial, agnostic, and vendor neutral. And that sets a level of credibility about something that it's, you know, you're not going to favor one display manufacturer over another. And you're not going to favor one mount or one media player or one CMS program because there are commonalities of things that almost all displays do, almost all mounts do, almost all CMSs do. And so you maintain that level of impartiality. And we've been accepted by, of course, the DSE, the DSF, the International Sign Association. So it has become a worldwide honest to goodness certification. It isn't like just taking a single, you know, a single class or something. There's an exam at the end. And then you can proudly say that I am DSCE certified, or we have three other certifications that we operate with as well. But we're in 64 countries, Dave, I think at this point, and we've got 16 or 17,000 people in 64 countries out of 8 years. So we're pretty proud of that accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. I wandered into one of your sessions at DSCE. It was on a break. It was the day before the Trade Hall opened, and wandered up, and you were busily talking to a young woman who was planning to do some sort of a network. And, you know, I think collectively we got into trying to talk her off a ledge, so to speak, in terms of what she wanted to do. Are you finding that the people that you're speaking with are any more educated, any more aware of the pitfalls now than they were 10, 15 years ago?
That's funny. I'm sitting here smiling, kind of chuckling at the experience. I remember when you came up during the break and this young woman and you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
You know, she's got this wide-eyed expectation that just because she was working, by the way, in the health and beauty industry, and she was thinking about doing hair salons. And she was thinking about, you know, she was already about five steps down the path of her thinking without understanding the seven key elements, without understanding the hurdles and the obstacles. And for the listening audience, she was talking about creating her own CMS program, her own custom from the ground up CMS program. And you and I were standing there and you looked at me and I looked at you and you just kind of nodded at me like, Alan, do you want to tell her or do you want me to tell her? And I said, well, I hate to burst your bubble, ma'am, but you know, the chances of you needing to do something from scratch is probably slim to none. So don't go out and make a home loan on creating your own CMS. And then you chimed in with similar comments. But that's the exception rather than the rule. I think one thing that is really, boy, made me happy at one level and surprised a little bit is the level of sophistication of the people who are attending not only the DSE, but you see it in the DSF board, I'm sure, but the people who are taking our certifications has literally risen. It seems like we're not just having to explain to somebody that digital signage is a visual medium and you've got a display and you've got a mount and you've got a media player and you've got a CMS program and you got a network connection. We're beyond those kind of things. And now we are beginning to have a more elevated conversation about engagement. You know, people like to talk about content being king, and I would say good content, while I don't think it's king, because I think the objective is king, as you know, but I think good content can be the crown prince. But what does content do? And the level of sophistication now that we're running into about people understanding that content is a tool, a vehicle to meet the objectives, and how we do content, how we place it, how big it is, how often it refreshes, that level of sophistication, Dave, I think has improved pretty mightily over the last 5 years. And that gives me kind of a confidence that we're heading in the right direction, because I think the whole tide has risen quite a bit on the sophistication of at least the people I run into who are attending the DSE.
Mm. And who do they tend to be? Are they coming out of IT or merchandising, or are there any commonalities around that?
No, I mean, yes, some do come out of IT, some do come out of merchandising, POP, and all that sort of thing. But what really just really kind of enthuses me is we're seeing, you know, retail's the largest segment. The second largest segment is obviously the food industry, quick serve restaurants. I made a mistake and called it the fast food industry the other day, and I think I got slapped on the back of my head. So the quick serve restaurant industry, those are the two biggest, you know, purveyors of digital signage. But the fastest growing area in terms of percentage of growth is the corporate networks and employee facing networks. And we're seeing people who are now, you know, when you and I started, everybody, it was like advertising, right? You know, what are the three most important things in real estate? Location. Well, it used to be advertising. And now what I'm seeing is we had a lot of people who are, first of all, in one of the classes that I taught, the fundamentals class, I had people from, I think, four continents sitting in there. English was not some of their first languages, right? So I had like 80 people sitting there. So I had this great big geographic universe of people sitting here, but I had people in education. I had people in corporate. I had people in government. I had people in certainly in advertising, quick serve restaurants and all of that. But the kind of the variety of people who are now engaging as in digital signage as a communication medium is astounding to me. And I know as a fact that even though I go to DSE to teach and to certify and to do all those sorts of things, I learn as much from the attendees. And I know you agree with this one because you and I have had this conversation. You and I learn as much about the industry from conversations we have with the attendees as we do in teaching the courses that we teach.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
And are you finding with corporate communications that most of the focus is still on kind of the white collar stuff, the front of house stuff?
Yeah. It hasn't kind of gotten down into, you know, into the everyday working person. You know, it's still kind of that tony upper level of corporate communication where you've got digital signage in a lobby and things like this. I think the evolution, though, that I think we're going to see, and I think we're seeing, and I say I think rather than I know, because I haven't quite got my finger on the pulse, and this pulse of it is as closely as I should, and this is kind of an area of your expertise, is we need to begin figuring out that digital signage and the technologies is a tool for the everyday office worker, the person who's working in manufacturing and shipping and receiving and HR and all of that. And it absolutely should not be limited just to the upper echelon of this is our corporate image and this is our corporate message. There's so many things we can do with the distribution of digital signage with all kinds of technologies, engagement technologies that we can use that can be effective for, you know, for the everyday worker bee in a given company.
Yeah, I think there's so much more opportunity back of house, so to speak, because these are people who don't have company email addresses. They no longer get pay envelopes with information slips in there. The only way they can communicate them to them right now is in the break rooms, and there's all this machinery, all these devices that are spitting out data that you could visualize on screens. And when I talk to people about that, you see a lot of nodding heads, but you know, they still get more focused on, well, you know, we want to tell our staff about the blood drive and so on. And I'm saying, okay, but you can be doing one hell of a lot more than that.
Yeah, you can get you know, to your point, you can get lost in data, right? I mean, yeah. You and I have both written articles about, you know, we live in a day and age of big data, but big data can be a positive and it can be a negative. It's a positive for people like you and me because we can do our research. And if I'm writing an article, I can spend a day doing research on a topic that would have taken me a month in the old library kind of days. So big data is very handy in one sense, but big data can also be intimidating, and so many things are thrown at you. And if we take a look at the corporate environment or the business environment or even the educational environment or the healthcare environment, where we have people who are doing tasks within a facility, by the judicious and smart use of digital signage, we can get rid of some of the superfluous data, and we can literally focus on what needs to be known in a given area for a given group of people or a given person. And we can literally, if you think about it, I'll use a bad word, but we can censor the information to say, I don't want all of this other noise. I want us to focus on this. And when people become acclimated to, there's a sign, it's up, there's a digital sign, a display, it's up, and I know I'm going to have, it's going to be limited to things that are pertinent to my job. This is a way of taking big data and utilizing big data in a controlled format that's going to help people do a much better and more efficient job without all the noise. Facebook's a great example, right? I mean, I've had to reduce my Facebook use to almost nil because it gets to be noise. So digital signage, when done properly, can be the anti-noise if used properly.
Mm-hmm. We were talking before we started recording about your impressions of DSC and how you see the marketplace maturing.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it really is kind of blown my mind. You know, when you and I first met Lo these many years ago, I think I actually had a lot more hair, and I think my hair was slightly brown instead of almost totally white as it is today. And when you and I first met, it was truly ooh shiny. I mean, I remember our early conversations. I remember meeting you in a Samsung booth, I think it was, and you were standing there, and you and I had never met, and you and I got together, and this was one of those times when I guess they were coming out with ultra thin bezel LCD displays, and video walls were just beginning to take off. Seems like a century ago. And you and I talked about the ooh shiny concept, where you walked into the show and you were mesmerized. I mean, you were just absolutely, you were taken almost by surprise at the majesty of all of these things that you were looking at around you. And I think for me, I wrote an article about it recently. For me, with the more sophisticated audience, people are beginning to, yeah, especially the newbies who just come for the first time, I warn them. I said, when you're going to go on the show floor, please do not get so totally engrossed in the latest, you know, LCD or OLED or DirectView LED or laser projection or whatever it might be. Don't get yourself lost in that, because you're going to miss the message of the show and you're going to miss some of the smaller booths. So I think what we've done is we have evolved into more of a sophisticated understanding that these are tools, and these tools, not unlike a hammer, not unlike a wrench, not unlike a saw, these are tools that you use to perform certain tasks. And I think we're getting more sophisticated about saying, okay, I've got this display and it's going to be this size in this location. And what work do I want that display to do? And not just get ourselves immersed in the, oh my goodness gracious, it's got a thin bezel and it's a little bit brighter and all of this. So I think we're morphing into or evolving into what we're doing with the tools and how we can better utilize the tools. And that's what I think, that was the emblematical of the show this year for me. And it kind of started last year, but I saw it continuing this year. So hopefully, in my case, hopefully that's going to be a trend.
Yeah, I still think, though, got a lot of vendors and their marketing people who still present their products and market their products based on features and specs.
Yes.
Yeah, seeing more of an effort, certainly by some of the larger vendors, to show things in context. But I, you know, all the press material that I get, that I'm sure you get too, it's still always about hyperbole and super duper extreme and powerful and blah, 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 blah. And you know, I just read a press release yesterday from some company, and I could not for the life of me figure out what the hell they were going on about. And all they really had to do was explain, this is what this means.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and you've heard me say this publicly and privately, that I never say anything in 50 words I can say in 500 words. So I'm not going to turn into a total hypocrite now, but I am going to say this. There's a very, 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 very famous book that I have read, and I bought probably 50 or 60 copies for friends, and it's called Don't Make Me Think, and it's a website design book. And when a friend of mine, Steve Hargis from Bass Pro Shops, had said, Alan, you got to buy this book. And I said, Steve, I don't do website design. And he says, just shut up and buy the book. And so I bought the book, and it's a thin book and it's a quick read. And again, for our listeners, you know, Don't Make Me Think. And they've just dated it, by the way, with a mobility section. And I gave one as a present to one of my clients yesterday, as a matter of fact, over lunch. And the whole purpose of it is to say that we are so inundated with information, and we're so inundated with blah, 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 and all of this, that the faster you can capture somebody's attention and the faster you can get to the point and make the points relevant, the more successful your website's going to be. And this particular author goes through it, and he shows examples of exactly what he's talking about with a poor website and in a good website. Well, this is metaphorical for me and how I now am approaching things without all the hyperbole. You know, I would 10 years ago, I would have had to plead guilty with all of the superlatives leading up to a display or a mount or whatever it might be, mm-hmm. and try to characterize in the mind's eye of somebody this wonderful image of the superiority of XYZ. That's really not appropriate anymore. For it to be most effective, we need to get rid of hype. We need to get rid of all the excess rhetoric. We need to tell somebody what we need to tell them as quickly as possible in as succinct a manner as possible so that they know the facts. But people who just relegate themselves to speeds and feeds, and you and I hate this. We've had this conversation many, many times. If you don't make a product relevant from how do I use this as a tool, what does it do for me? World's fastest sales training program. I have a 256-slide sales training program I'd love to have everybody access based on spend selling, situation, problem, implication, needs, payoff. I'd love to have people access it. Truth of the matter is, I can do it in 3 bullet points. World's fastest sales training program. You're not going to sell a product unless it solves a problem, unless it's going to improve a condition, or unless it's going to give somebody something that they can use that they don't currently have. That's it. Mm-hmm. You've now saved yourself 245 of the 246 slides, or however big that sale. That's it. Solve a problem, improve a condition, give somebody a capability they don't currently have that they can use. If you can make those 3 points in whatever you do, you're going to make the sale. And if I'm an end user, I want a person who's selling to me, tell me what, you know, give me my pain points. You know, people talk about solution selling. It's not solution selling. We're problem solving. A solution is only as good as in terms of, if is there a problem to solve? Oh, I've got a solution for that. Now we've got a deal. And that's what you and I both believe, that we got to get more succinct and more direct in terms of, here's the issue, here's the problem, here's a potential solution, and here's how we do it.
Yeah, when I'm talking to people about kiosks, or what I call interactive stations, I say, if this doesn't make something faster, better, or easier, I don't care, and I don't think anybody else will either.
I love that. See, that's going along with Don't Make Me Think. Yeah. Faster, better. I heard you do a couple of years back, I forget where it was, maybe it was Infocom, I don't know. But you got up and you gave you and I were both speaking on a topic, and you got up and you said that to everybody. And these people were sitting there in the audience. I don't know, there's like 80 or 90 people in the audience listening to what we were talking about. And they wanted, I think, these long, drawn out, beautiful descriptions of the nuances of this and that. And you said, if it's not, and I remember you getting, it was so funny. You got up there and you just looked at everybody. And I think it was like the third or fourth sentence that you said. And you said, in the end, folks, if it's not fatter, faster, better, easier, then, you know, it just really isn't going to resonate with anybody. And I wanted to stand up and applaud and go, yeah, that's it. That's it. That's better, easier, right?
Yep. So a few weeks ago at DSE, you were at the awards thing for the Apex Awards, and you were honored with an award for your education work, and the award is now going to be in your honor going forward. So whoever gets it next year, it'll be the Alan Braun Award. And I was sitting beside you, and you were quite moved by that.
Yeah, it's, you know, and you and I, not to be too personal about it, but, you know, the truth of the matter is when the only thing that you're really good at, I mean, everybody's really good at something. I do believe that, by the way, I really do. The fortunate among us know what we're really good at. And the only thing I'm really good at or ever have really been good at is teaching, sharing information, learning something. I have a passion for sharing what I know. The one thing that you know if your passion is teaching, and as you know, over the years, you know, I give most of it away. The vast majority of what I do is volunteer work. And it's meaning I like doing that, and I want to do that, and I want to share. I want to send you a seminar that might have taken me 2 weeks to prepare. I'll send it to you, and I'm not going to charge you anything for it. So when you really have dedicated your life to that, and you know in your soul that that's the only thing you're really good at, then you get industry recognition. And what got to me was Educator of the Year is a wonderful thing to be called and all of that, but to have the award named after you was very emotional. And then on the way up, and you know this is true because I had no idea what I was going to say in receiving the award. And so I get on stage, and literally the two steps going up to the stage, I figured out what I was going to say. And to paraphrase it, it was simply this, that do I think I'm a good teacher and am I dedicated? Yes. But I think what it does is it puts a point in time. And it's a challenge now. So what I would like to say is the Apex Awards, which honor content, that should not be somebody resting on their laurels. What happens is these awards should be a challenge to people who come afterwards to improve, to do better, to expand beyond where we're at. And when I received the award, my message was, let this be a challenge for those people who want to teach, who want to share, who want to impart information with passion and with concern for the people that are wanting that education. Let this be a challenge for us to improve every single year. And yeah, it's pretty humbling to, you know, to have an award while I'm still on this planet, as it were, to have an award named after me. And it will forever be one of my most precious moments of my professional career.
Alan, glad we finally did this.
Well, it's always a pleasure talking to you, and you are one of the most insightful people in the industry. No, you didn't pay me the $20 for that comment, but
not yet. Anyway,
you got to have people that you reach out to and you get their opinions about things, and the industry's lucky to have you.
Well, thank you.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net, every day. If you like this podcast, please also check out the companion 16.9 podcast called Projects. That's done by Michael Tutton, and there's a new episode every second Friday. 16.9 the blog and now the podcasts are properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.